Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners. We have Mufti Farhan Karani, alhamdulillah, today. And the day today is the 14th of Rabiul Awal 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Ji Mufti Saab, last time we spoke about the scourge of lesbianism. Today, what does Mufti Saab intend to speak on?
Last night I came across an article about came across it. It's Israeli, probably the Israeli government. They're not letting anything yet. But they attacked Hezbollah, I think, but the pages they were using because of the harms of using the cell phone, because they can intercept their cell phones and their communication. So they're using pages. So what happened is they somehow got hold of those pages, I think, when it was in Iran. And they filled it with two or three grams of explosives. And simultaneously, all those pages exploded and killing all those people. So, yeah, things like that are going on in the world. And then the Israeli government is making zulm on the people in Palestine. And that's the ongoing thing. All the suffering that's going on there. Now, it's our heart pain when we hear about these things. But then we console ourselves by reading the Quran and Kareem and reminding ourselves what Rasulullah has told us. Whenever you're suffering for a mu'min, they reward him. Even if someone takes a mu'min, then it is a reward for us. And so this is just one something that came to my mind. What I actually want to speak about is that once Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that was walking and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam held my shoulder. Now look at the shafqat, look at the compassion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with his sahaba. He grabbed him by the shoulder, not grabbed him, he held him by the shoulder with affection. Now, what does this signify? When a person holds you affectionately, he holds your hand. Sometimes Nabi Hassan used to hold Sahabi's hand, like Muaz radiallahu anhu, hold him by his hand, and then speak to him compassionately. Yeah, Muaz, you know this. You know, so here Nabi Hassan held Umar radiallahu anhu's shoulder. Now, by doing this, you already feel warmth towards the person who is going to tell you something, because he's holding you by the shoulder or he's holding you in your hand and he's going to tell you something. Now you are all ears, you are listening attentively, you know who this person is, you confide in him, you respect him, you love him. So now these words will stay in your mind forever. So this is how we should make ta'aleem also when we are teaching, whether it's our children, whether it's our students, you know, affectionately, teach them affectionately. Sometimes you drive your bananas, you know, they make them so angry sometimes, you know, they don't learn their sabr in it. But we should adopt sabr and compassion. And that is how Nabi Hassan taught the Sahaba. Even didn't, you know, yeah, you all, you don't do it like this here, you don't know. Go to Jahannam and no. At times, Hassan got angry and when somebody left out coming for Jamaat Salah, and Hassan said, "I would like to go." It wasn't for I'd like to go and burn the houses down of those people who didn't come for Salah. But because of the women and children, they had compassion. Hassan had compassion for the women and children. It wasn't for them in the houses. I would go and burn the houses down of those people who didn't come for Salah. So yes. The point is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so compassionately held Umar radiallahu anhu and he told him a few words. Now what did he tell him? Very, very important pertinent advice. Kunti dunya ka annaka gharibun. O abiru sabilin. That live in this world like you a forlorn, a traveler. Like you're a traveler. How does a traveler travel? He travels life. You know, the Indian travelers, they don't travel life. They don't keep them out. And take all the spices worth, you know, there's no spices there where you're going to go. All the tomato sauce and all the sneeze and everything must go with. And so generally, a traveler travels life. And you're going to take the clothing you require for an amount of days you're going to be staying there, and provisions just for the journey. You're going to take your passport worth. And so the reason saying love in this dunya like you're a traveler. So how does a traveler love? He loves lightly. So that is how we should love. Now, you know, some Buzhukan being that in the time, they're still loving, that they gave away everything, everything what they own. And they borrowed it from the people who they gave it to their son. Now, can I borrow this clothing from you to use? This house is yours. Can I love in it till I die? Because they don't want nothing of the dunya. They want to leave the dunya and they want to be as light as possible. So when they travel to the akhirah, they don't have this burden of answering for so many things. That I left the dunya, I had nothing. So what I came with is my deed, that's all. And so when we travel, we must travel light. And in this dunya, we must love. We must love with the basic means, basic loving means. If we need a car, say, I need one car, I can do with one car, okay, maybe two cars, okay. But do I need a third car for only the weekend or only when drive it out from the garage once a month to wash it and put it back? Now, that is wasteful. And that is wasteful. It's going to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala for wasting. So what I need, I use. Okay, I need a couch. Okay, so alhamdulillah, I buy a nice couch, right? But haram to buy a nice, expensive couch, you can afford it. Right? And then you use it. Right? So you want to wear clothing. You wear clothing. Right? If you can afford expensive clothing, permissible clothing, you buy it. Alhamdulillah. But no pride, you don't have pride in when wearing the garment. So whatever we're using, we use it. Like our one hadith, we can say that what you wore, and what you wore and it got old, it is yours. And so when we use something, use it till you can't use it anymore. And then you dispose of it. So utilize something like you're a traveler. So we love in the dunya like you travelers. A traveler doesn't take everything with him on his journey. Then the second advice Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives is, that consider yourself amongst the dead. Consider yourself amongst the dead. Now, what advice is this? This is like a stern warning. So the first advice already tells you that, you know, you can't love in this world as you're going to love, as if you're going to love forever. And the second advice is, they consider yourself already as amongst the people of the graveyard. And so what do the people of the graveyard do? And what do they desire? They desire that if they could make extra ibadah, if they could go back to the dunya, or if they could dig salah in their qabr, they would have done it. But unfortunately, they can't. So, do that which the people of the qabr can't do. It is ibadah. It is finish ourselves in the worship and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it is too late. We see from the third advice. And so then Ibn Umar then says, he says to the person who is relating this hadith to, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تُحَدِّثْ نَفْسَكَ بِالْمَسَائِمْ. When you wake up in the morning, don't think about what's going to do in the evening. Don't think what you're going to do in the afternoon or in the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تُحَدِّثْ نَفْسَكَ بِالصَّبَاحِ. When you're in the evening, don't think, say what's going to do in the morning, what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know. There's no guarantee on life. You say, inshallah, inshallah, I'll do this year. Inshallah, I will do that day. Tomorrow, inshallah, I'll do this year. Later today or in the evening tonight, I'll do inshallah this year. And so, but we can't rely on it that, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be doing this year, or I got my deadline by next month, I'm going to do this year. Tomorrow, I'm going to do that. Next year, I'm going to be doing this year. don't have hopes of even later this morning, because we don't know what's going to happen later this morning. And so in addition to giving us this advice, that love for the moment. Love for the moment, that what I can do now, I must do. Reading Salah, I must read it as if it's my last Salah. And how will a person read his Salah if he knows this is my last Salah that I'm reading? Next advice. وَخُدْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ قَبْلَ سَخَمِكَ. While you are well and healthy, take advantage of what you can do before you become sick. Okay? And maybe they took the word sick from taqamik. Taqam means sickness. And sick, they took it in English, they stole the word from taqam, Arabic. And there are a lot of words they took from Arabic. So anyway, when the person is healthy and well, then generally a person will commit sins when he's healthy and well, because he thinks, I'm not going to get sick. I'm so healthy, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm so well. And, you know, I'm fresh as a fiddle, and I can jog. I go jogging every morning, and I cycle, and I do this. And but you don't realize that sickness can come at any time. Sickness is from Allah Ta'ala. And the cure is also from Allah Ta'ala. When a person becomes sick and gets sick, then it is a means of Allah Ta'ala forgiving his sins. When Rasulullah Sassam told the Sahaba about this, when you get sick, your sins are being forgiven. One Sahabi asked Nabi Sassam, Ya Rasulullah, make dua, I'm always sick. Imagine. Now that's only a Sahabi can make dua for. So Nabi Sassam knew that this Sahabi is not one that's going to complain. If I make dua for him, then this dua will not be against what he can handle. So Nabi Sassam made dua for him. And forever, till he passed away, he always had a fever, a slight fever. And he was so proud of it, he used to tell the people, come see, see my head, see, can you see, it's a fever. Nabi Sassam made dua, my sons are getting forgiven. And so this is the level of love of Nabi, the love the Sahaba had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here you get some people saying this, yeah, they get the Sahaba, kafir. Where do they get this from? So anyways, that in many ahadith, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when you are well and you do ibadat while you are well and healthy and young, and then when you become ill, if you become ill and you become old, you can no longer make that ibadat that you used to do while you were young and healthy and well, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. And for you will be written the same good deed you should do when you were healthy and well and young, but you can't do it now. And so you still, you feel, I need to read more Salah. I need to do this. But you can't. So you will be still in your name and mal will be recorded for you the good deed that you should do when you are young and you are healthy. This is why the youth, when we are in our youth, we should not waste our youth. It is why Nabi Sassam also told us, give us the glad tidings for that youth who spend this time in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Because that obedience, that youth that you use in obedience of Allah Ta'ala will be to your benefit on the day of Qiyamah and when you are in your old age. If now you are old, you can't read Salah standing, you're reading Salah sitting. Allah Ta'ala still gives you the reward of reading Salah standing. Because you know, Allah Ta'ala knows if you can't say any deed for that. And so, whilst we have health, we must make shukr for it. How we make shukr for it? That we make extra ibadah. Because when we are old, you know, and our bodies cannot handle it anymore, then we will still get the same reward. Now, come back to another hadith of Nabi Sassam, where Nabi Sassam said that, gave the advice that we must أَطْعِمُ الْجَائِعَ وَأُوْدُ الْمَرِيضَ, that feed the hungry and visit the sick. Now, because we are on the discussion of sickness, so the Rishon says, أُوْدُ الْمَرِيضَ. Now, that's what أُوْد means. أُوْد comes from the root word أُوْد. It means to recur, to do something over and over. So what does this mean, أُوْدُ الْمَرِيضَ? That visit the sick, but continue visiting the sick. Continuously visit the sick. If somebody is sick, then we should go and visit them. Why? Because there are many benefits in visiting the sick for us and for the sick person. Remember, we came out from this COVID era. 2 years of our life was just lost in confusion. So, in that confusing period, people were lying in hospitals, left for dead. Families wanted to go and visit their family members in hospital. They couldn't. The people who were in the hospital, they wanted their families to come and visit them, but they couldn't. Because of all the draconian laws and the satanic laws that the government put upon the people. So, the benefit of visiting the sick is that the person you're going to visit, he feels better seeing people around him, people who care, people who have concern for him, people coming there making dua for you, people coming there just giving you words of consolement, already feel better. And for you, the person who's going to visit the sick, yes, tremendous reward. Tremendous reward. One is, if you visit the sick person, a sick person in the morning, until the evening you're getting du'as of the angels, the malaika making du'a for you. Allah, Rabbi ghafir lahu. Allah forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. The fish in the ocean making du'a for you. The birds in the sky making du'a for you. Imagine, if this was not such a great ibadah, why would the malaika be making du'a for you? Just think about it. Why would the malaika be instructed to make du'a for you for going to visit a sick person? Because it's such a great thing and we don't consider it as a great thing. It is why, when a person is sick, go and visit him. If they don't allow you in the ward, at least go there and go to the family in the waiting room there. Go and tell them some words of consolement. Go and speak to them, sit with them there. Just sit with them and just, even if they don't want to talk anything, you just sit there. By your presence, they will already feel some comfort. They feel, okay, people are concerned about us. They care about us. We must not change people away. We must not change people away who want to visit sick. Why? Because you are depriving yourself and them and the sick person from du'as and maghfirat of Allah Ta'ala and rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. You don't know whose du'as are accepted. You don't know who the person is coming to visit the sick person. That through the barakah of that person who comes to visit, Allah Ta'ala will give the sick person shifa. Because that person is near and dear to Allah Ta'ala. And through that barakah there, Allah Ta'ala will have raham on that sick person and he will recover. So, never underestimate anything of the sharia. So this is the instruction from Rasulullah. Udul marida, go visit a sick person, hear of a sick person in your family or in the community. Go and visit them. And because it's our duty, it's their right that we go and visit them. It's our duty. And besides being our duty, it is rewarding for us. We are getting great reward for going to visit a sick person. So 70,000 angels make dua for you from the morning to the evening. This is why the awliya, they go and visit the sick person early in the morning or just after Maghrib. So they benefit that dua benefits them for the entire day or for the entire night. And so they try to cash in as much as they can for the akhirat and transfer, make enough transfers to the akhirat. So going to visit the sick person, when you go to visit the sick person, now what are the etiquette of visiting the sick person? When you go to visit, then keep your stay short. Keep your stay short, keep your visit short. Why? Because the people don't want you to sit the whole day there. If you're going to visit the sick person by the house, you don't go there and sit there for so long. Now they must offer you tea. They must now bring tea for you in buskers. Then they're going to bring dessert for you. Now they must make supper for you. You came here to eat or you came for iyadah? You came there to visit the sick person for reward or you're going to give taklif. Now you're giving taklif to people. And so make your wadah short, 5-10 minutes, sit with a sick person a little bit, make dua for him, ask him to make dua for you, because the Islam told us you must ask the sick person to make dua for you, because these duas are accepted. He's in difficulty and these duas are accepted. So ask him to make dua for you. You sit with him for a while there, and then you go and talk to the family a little bit, and then you make sure you excuse yourself and don't sit around for too long. And when we take something also for the sick person, something they like, obviously now you don't take something which will cause them more harm. If the person is diabetic, you're not going to take chocolate for him. Now you can't eat the chocolate. That's why he's in hospital in the first place. So you take a gift for the family, take something for the sick person also. If you can't take anything, then even just du'as, you go and give du'as and take du'as from the sick person. So this is very important. Never ever chase away somebody who is coming to visit the sick people, your family members, friends, because they have concerns. And remember that you don't know who is the wali of Allah Ta'ala. You don't know whose du'a and whose presence is going to trigger the mercy and the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So never ever chase away anybody who wants to come and visit. Let us forget about our reasoning. And let us use the reasoning of the Sharia. If the Sharia allows for people to come and visit my mother, my father, my brother, my child, then I'm happy with that decision. Because it is the decision of the Sharia, and the Sharia comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am pleased, and Allah ta'ala knows, Allah ta'ala, that is why Allah ta'ala gives us these instructions, that we must fulfill it for our own benefit, for our own benefit. So we must remember that day. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي عَبْدَ اللَّهِ مَسْمُكَ عَبْدُ مَخَدًا. Our Nabi doesn't say, what affection again? Ya عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. You don't know what are you going to be tomorrow? Where are you going to be tomorrow? And today my name is Muhammad. And tomorrow I'm going to be called a janaza. I'm going to be called a janaza. And today I am healthy. Tomorrow I'm dead. Today I'm sick. Tomorrow I'm better. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So prepare for your journey. Like you start in the beginning. Prepare for your journey to the akhirat. And these are all very, very important advices to remind us that we have to leave this world. We all have to leave this world. And how do we live in this world to have the best life in the year after? Because we believe in the life of the year after. If we believe in Jannah, we believe in Jahannam, we believe in Qiyamah, we believe in the scales, the Mizan, we believe in the Sirat, the bridge over Jahannam, we believe in Malaika, and we believe that we will be resurrected. No matter how a person dies, he will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. So these are all our beliefs, and these are all very, very short advices, but very meaningful advices. And advices that you should practice upon, and never consider any advice of Rasulullah to be insignificant. We must take it seriously. When we hear advice of Nabi Sassam, a hadith of Nabi Sassam, take it seriously. You know, the other day I was hearing Alim was speaking, that Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, that Allah Ta'ala looks for excuses to forgive us. And he looks for excuses to forgive us. It is why everything we do, there's forgiveness in that day. Make salam to a brother. You're shaking a person's hand. Your sins are getting forgiven. You make wudu. Your sins are getting forgiven. You're making ghusl. Your sins are getting forgiven. Walking to the masjid. Your sins are getting forgiven. You're waiting for salah. It's like you're in salah. Everything a mu'min does, there's a reward in it. Whether we're walking or we're talking, eating, you're getting a reward. Why? Your intention is that I'm going to make an ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. This is why I'm eating. I'm using the strength. I'm going to use the strength to make an ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. Why am I driving? I'm driving to the masjid. Why am I driving? I'm going to drop my children at the madrasa. Why am I driving? I'm going to buy groceries for my family. This is sadaqah. I'm doing work of Allah Ta'ala. I'm fulfilling my duty for my family. I'm fulfilling my huquq al-ibad. So our intentions are important. And why I'm doing this here? I'm doing this to please Allah Ta'ala. Why am I sleeping? So I can get strength. In the morning, I can wake up for Fajr, nice and early. I can read my Tahajjud Salah, I can read my Fajr Salah, I can worship Allah Ta'ala. So everything we do, we must have a good intention behind it. Then you will find contentment in our lives. You find contentment in our lives that I have little bit, but alhamdulillah, I can do so much with it. And as long as we are pleasing Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will please us, and Allah Ta'ala will grant us content. Today, living in times that, times which are so difficult upon people, and because people are living beyond their means, and people are living on credit cards, paying off one credit card for another credit card, and they're living on bank loans, and unhappy. Person is earning 200,000 in a month, he's still unhappy. At the end of before the end of the month, his money is finished. Where his money went, he doesn't even know where his money is. And he's struggling because he is constantly desiring of more of the dunya. He's saying, loving this dunya like you're a traveler. Why must you? If you can't afford this expensive car, buy a cheaper car. You can't afford an expensive house. If you can't buy your own house, then rent a house. But don't go into riba loan from banks, and don't take interest, and don't involve yourself in credit. What you have, make do with that day. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala, make istighfar, and Allah Ta'ala will have mercy on us.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab, for those beautiful advices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and give us the ability to practice. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.